missiles to prepare for nuclear war. My father had to help evacuate the planes from MacDill Air Force Base during the Cuban Missile Crisis, leaving us and other families in Tampa, Florida, worrying that we'd be among the first to be hit by Russian, or Soviet Union as it was known at the time, nuclear missiles. The possibility of war, even a war that would end the world, was a constant threat that was always present. The constant threat and fear of war made the idea of peace as the absence of war particularly real. This became even more vivid in the years following the Cuban Missile Crisis when the war in Vietnam escalated. My father was often away flying planes in Southeast Asia as the news carried nightly body counts and stories of riots in American streets and on college campuses as the anti-war movement or peace movement became more and more vocal. The peace sign became more and more common on posters, jewelry, and t-shirts. Consequently, the idea of peace as the absence of war was deeply ingrained in my psyche from an early age. Now it seems that the idea of peace as the absence of war is again relevant. The Russians are bombarding Ukraine. The Israelites are bombarding Gaza. We are bombarding the Houthis. Just when we get out of Iraq and Afghanistan, some other hot spot seems to be drawing us in. We should pray for the absence of war. But when we pray for peace, we are praying for much more. It is clear from the Bible that peace means much, much more than the absence of war. In the Old Testament, we hear the word shalom over and over again. In Hebrew, the word shalom is used as a greeting and as a farewell, similar to aloha for the Hawaiians. In that context, peace is an indication of present well-being and a hope for future well-being that extends beyond a wish for no violence. It is a hope for everyday wholeness of life that is made complete by the presence of God in everyday living. This everyday wholeness is steeped in the Hebrew language. The word shalom is only one of the words that carry that sense of peace. Indeed, there are many variations on the same root represented by the Hebrew letters Shem, Lamed, Mem. Think English S, H, L, and M. The consonants in shalom. For example, shalem is a peace offering. Shalom is to be in a covenant of peace. Shalem means a state of completeness, soundness, welfare, peace. The Hebrew word Yerushalem means the foundation of all peace and is the name of the historic capital of the people of Israel. In English, Jerusalem. There are many more examples, but obviously, peace is important in Hebrew scripture, and it means much more than an absence of war. Likewise, peace is a key concept in the New Testament. The Greek word, often translated as peace, is eirene, which is used 92 times in the New Testament. When the Greeks say, "Peace be with you," as a greeting, according to William Barclay, the greeting means, "May God give you every good thing." In today's scripture, Jesus says to the disciples in the upper room, "Peace be with you," 3 times. Why do you think that is? The reading begins with this. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The first thing that jumps out to me is that the disciples were in a state of fear. This fear was made clear by the fact that the doors were locked, something we can relate to. When we speak of our fear of crime today, it's not unusual to contrast today to the days when people were able to leave their doors unlocked. A peaceful small town is often described as a place where no one locks their doors. The disciples were afraid, and reasonably so. They were afraid that their fate would be the same that was Jesus' fate. They were afraid that the same Jewish leaders who were colluding with the Roman authorities to keep down insurrection and who had Jesus killed would come after them. They had their doors locked in fear. Being in a state of fear, such as the disciples were experiencing, is a feeling of a lack of wholeness or peace. Being in a state of fear is being focused on personal well-being and being concerned that someone or something wants to take that well-being away. The dictionary defines fear as follows: a feeling of alarm or disquiet caused by the expectation of danger, pain, disaster, or the like. Terror, dread, apprehension, end quote. Given what happened to Jesus, those fears were reasonable. After all, Jesus experienced pain and death at the hands of the local authorities. Fear in and of itself is not bad. It's very natural. It's a natural emotion which causes us to be prepared for danger. Our response to fear is what is important. Our limbic system, sometimes called our reptile brain, prepares us to fight, flee, or freeze, depending on the type of danger and what our resources are. Gradually, the other parts of our brain help us think through our options and respond to danger. Jesus does not come in and accuse the disciples of being cowards. Jesus does not say their fear is unreasonable. On the contrary, he offers them evidence of what the danger did to him: the holes in his hands and feet, and the spear hole in his side. The danger from evil is real. The danger outside locked doors is real. So what does Jesus offer? First and foremost, Jesus offers the assurance that they and we are in the hands of God. Peace be with you. Jesus says this is not a guarantee that they would not be hurt or killed. This is a guarantee that God is with them and with us regardless. Jesus offers himself as an example of what that means. the resurrected Jesus stands among them, the victim of violence and death, yet very much alive, well, and at peace. That same peace, wholeness, and wellness given to Jesus from God the Father is passed on to the disciples and is passed on to us. Notice that the second time Jesus says, "Peace be with you," he tells them that he is sending them like he had been sent from the Father. This is hardly an assurance that there'd be no conflict. This is a very different kind of peace. This is a peace that comes from having a purpose. This is a peace that comes from knowing that whatever outside forces may do, we are within the purpose of God. Having a purpose is a very powerful concept. Pastor Rick Warren, formerly of the Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, wrote one of the best-selling books in history called The Purpose-Driven Life. The popularity of the book underscores the need people feel to have a purpose. Knowing that there is a purpose in life brings a sense of wholeness and peace. Jesus gives the disciples a sense of their purpose as he passes the peace to them. But also notice, Jesus does not send them alone. Jesus breathes into them. Now note, this is similar to what God does in creation, breathing life into Adam. Jesus enlivens them. Jesus infuses them with the power necessary to live as his disciples in a dangerous world. Jesus makes them whole in order that they might preach and teach and heal. In other words, pass peace, pass wholeness to others. Jesus gives them the power of the Holy Spirit in order that they might live out their purpose and have peace in the midst of the dangerous time in which they live. That same Holy Spirit is given to us. Peace is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 5, 22 through 25 as follows. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us be guided by the Spirit. When we are living as Jesus would have us live, we are living lives empowered by the Holy Spirit. When we are living purpose-driven, peaceful lives, our lives should reflect the fruits of the Spirit. It is natural to respond to danger with fear. Bravery is not the absence of fear, it's responding to fear appropriately. According to Jesus, we are sent out, even in the face of danger, to live in peace through the Holy Spirit. May the peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Having heard the Word of God read,